Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway, lays it in! Zach Levine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you through our 670 Score Scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that.
And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period.
Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Matt, welcome back. Good to be back with you, buddy. We have a ton of voicemails and text messages to get into today. But anything come across the wire as we get approached the holiday weekend as of sorts that has tickled your interest as far as the NBA goes, amass the first couple of days of chaos? Anything else that has gone on across the NBA that you put top of mind today?
What's going on, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Happy to be about to do a bunch of mailbag content, and shout out to all of our listeners for absolutely flooding our inbox. I think it'll be impossible, try as we might, to get to every single piece of texts and voicemails that you guys have sent us since draft night. But it's awesome to have too many to get to, as opposed to the opposite problem. Clearly, just, you know, the latest example of this fan base, of this team, just being insanely passionate and excited. Because we haven't actually gotten to watch Bulls basketball since March, and we're getting close. As far as, you know, some of the latest goings on around the league and how that might impact the Bulls, we are going to get to an interesting question that somebody sent us in our inbox kind of about this, is some of those players from the 2016 draft class getting big extensions. You know, we saw a massive extension for Bam Adebayo. Also one for who else was today that I'm blanking on right now?
Donovan Mitchell was yesterday. Jason Tatum got his extension. De'Aaron Fox Tatum. Got his extension.
And Brandon Ingram just got a massive deal from the Pelicans today.
Oh yes, I was not surprised. I mean, that's kind of their 1A to their 1B of Zion, right? In terms of rebuilding completely.
So, you know, as far as the teams trying to create room for 21 free agent class and all that versus keeping and paying and you know, and making sure that they are happily paid guys that they drafted, especially those high lottery guys, there's that decision looming right now about the Bulls and Lauri Markkanen. And we got somebody in our inbox wondering about that, because clearly that is not a max player right now. So I'm excited to have that conversation.
No, that's a good point. That's something that we're going to definitely have conversations throughout the year about, and that's as we approach closer and closer to next summer, that is really going to be at the top of Bulls topics and Bulls issues, too, things that they're going to have to make decisions on. But yes, we have tons to get to. Let's just dive right in. Matt, let's get into... So first, let's set it up this way, is a lot of the calls are from immediate reaction to the NBA draft last week, people reacting to the Patrick Williams pick, but also giving us some free agency offseason questions as we kind of lead up to training camp, Matt, which training camp's a week from today. Did you realize that? Camp opens a week from today. It's absolutely insane. So I'm very, very excited for it. Again, 331-979-1369, the place to hit us up. Let's start first, Matt. Let's start with the 720.
Hey guys, this is Mike from the 303. Jordan, Matt, just want to say you guys do a great job. Thank you for all the content you put out. And Matt, no, that was not a shot at Nocioni. I'm a big fan of Nocioni. I just think that his ceiling was limited. In regards to this pick that we just had, Patrick fucking Williams. I mean, listen, we couldn't get LaMelo. Fine. We needed a wing player, a defender. Fine. Trade the fuck back. Why would you take Patrick Williams at 4? I mean, I just don't get Killian Hayes is out there. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like this pick more than if it would have been Denny. But Patrick Williams, I mean, you couldn't have traded back and picked up more assets. Patrick Williams, I am just a lost word. This dude better. I mean, by the great words of, who was it, Will Perdue or Casey Johnson that I saw, this dude better turn into a more offensively gifted Jimmy Butler. Otherwise, fuck this pick, man. I thought we were having a new regime. Same old, same old.
He's not not.
Wow. I did not expect that to be our first voicemail reaction to Patrick Williams. But we were talking last week, Matt, that some Bulls fans were very angry at the pick as soon as it was dropped. But our caller from the 303 and Micah, he left us a voicemail not even a day later. Let's take a listen to what Micah had to say after he did a little bit of more research on his guy, Patrick Williams.
Hey, fellas. This is Micah from the 303. So this is the next day. I've had some time to think on it. And, you know, as much as I have clamored for the Bulls to keep Zach LaVine, this draft pick pretty much ensures, well, at least at the moment, depending on what they do in free agency, that Zach will be here at least for the upcoming season, that this present core will be intact for the upcoming season, which I wanted more than anything. I think I probably overreacted a little more seeing Michael Jordan take freaking LaMelo Ball one pick before us. It's almost like the whole Aaron Donald freaking going to the Rams over the Bears. Anyway, that's a whole different conversation. But I think this kid can be something as far as like a glue guy. He's a stalwart, especially with his versatility. But he is not guarding 1 through 2. He can't guard a 1 or 2. He doesn't have the lateral foot speed. But I think this kid may be the kind of pick that can help, you know, solidify us on the defensive end. So we'll see how it goes. I'll trust AK and go Bulls.
That is awesome, man. That is a wide range of emotions in a matter of 12 hours, man.
I love this. So his first voicemail he left us, you know, we get timestamps on all of our texts and voicemails, and it was 7:45 p.m. Wednesday. So like right after the Bulls pick Patrick Williams. And then that second call that you just played comes at 9:54 a.m. on Thursday. So like you said, just a little over 12 hours sleeping on it and maybe feeling a little bit differently. But, you know, I think our caller is not alone in having gone through that experience and that process. I mean, Jordan, I know you were you know, holding this little flame for the possibility of somehow winding up with LaMelo on draft night, and we're kind of crushed as you and I were hanging out on draft night on Hot Mic and kind of made your peace with it over the next 24 hours or so. And I think, you know, to answer, you know, Mike's primary question when he, from his first initial call where he was all, you know, stewing in anger as far as, okay, well, if that's your guy, why not trade down? To reiterate, and I think we mentioned this because AK talked about it when he had his press conference at the, you know, the late evening hours after the draft had concluded, there was so much uncertainty with teams ranking players in various chaotic different orders that they weren't sure that they could trade down and still get their guy. I mean, and with Patrick Williams specifically being the guy that they were targeting, they felt good about taking him at 4 and the value that that presented, because there were several teams that were trying to trade up so that they could take Patrick Williams. Obviously, you know, we saw basically an entire lottery happen with, you know, all the speculation, nobody traded up. And obviously teams were, you know, not happy with the offers they were getting for those trade downs. And certainly that's something that AK was probably thinking about as well. But when you think about the fact that what we heard is a lot of teams that were trying to trade up were trying to do so to take Patrick Williams, trading down for Patrick Williams just wasn't an option.
I always wonder, too, if the Bulls had really had serious conversations with Detroit. Now, we heard that Detroit was trying to move ahead of the Bulls at 3 for the entire draft day leading up to that night. They couldn't get a deal done, but I'm always curious if the Bulls, if their asking price for Detroit was Sekou Doumbia. Like, Doumbia feels to me like a player that is similar to Patrick Williams in terms of where the Bulls would have slotted him. Obviously, that's a huge ask to move up 3 spots, but if Detroit really loved him, there could have been a possible deal there. That would have been me understanding the Bulls asking price for him. So, I mean, there was, Matt, there was GMs around the NBA that had been giving quotes out the day or 2 days after about Patrick Williams, saying there was legit serious conversations about him going number one. So, again, if it's funny that Micah reacted the exact same way that I did. I was a little bit to a lesser degree, but even if you were watching our live stream, I had my hands on my head going, are we serious right now? Like, that's who we took. I did a little bit more of my research. I went back and watched almost a dozen ACC games in which he played in, and I was impressed. And so, again,
you know, I think that's something else that Bulls fans should keep in mind too, is that this was a weird draft. Unprecedented times that we're going through right now with the inability to have the regular draft combine, and also these teams with their ability to send scouts to conference tournaments and the NCAA tournament, all of them canceled. And everybody was talking a lot on draft night, national people, and people that they had talked to, scouts and executives around the league, saying if Florida State had gone through and, you know, they were the regular season champions, you know, in the ACC. And if they had played in that, you know, ACC tournament and likely ran through it, people would have been like, wow, this kid, Patrick Williams, wow. And then going to the tourney, and if Florida State made a run in the tourney, you could have seen him easily jump among, you know, above any of those top three guys easily.
I think that's a really good point. If we had seen March Madness play out, I don't think there would have been this freak out about Patrick Williams to this degree, right? People would have kind of understood who he was, and there would have been a bunch of profiles on him, and he would have been built up the same way a lot of these other guys would have been built up the same. So I don't think we would have been as shocked.
Like, when you're watching tourney games, I don't know about you, Jordan, but for me, I'm just looking at, okay, who were the players making big plays? Who are the players making big plays late in games? Who is just making an impact? When I'm watching, settling in to watch a college basketball game, I'm not looking at the starting lineup. I just watch the game and see who impresses me. So all of these Bulls fans who are like, oh, we took a guy number 4 who couldn't even start on his college team. It's like, yeah, guess what? When you're watching the tourney, you're not thinking, did that guy start or not? You're thinking, wow, this kid is impressing me, regardless of whether he started at the opening tip of the game. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, definitely in college, it doesn't matter either, too. I mean, again, we talked about the strategy Leonard Hamilton plays with. He brings guys in waves. And all I care about, Matt, whether it be the NBA or college basketball, is, are you finishing games? Are you on the floor when it matters most? Are you on the floor in the last 3-4 minutes of the game? Patrick Williams consistently on the floor for the entire last 4 minutes of those games. So defensive presence is going to keep you on the floor, and that's like, at times, Matt, that's why we talked about Chris Dunn at the end of games. Because of his defensive presence, he was allowed to be back on the floor late in those games. Patrick Williams is going to be the same way. That's what I was looking for. Not necessarily if he started and played the first 5 minutes of a game. Like, I could care less, and it's the same conversation we had about Kobe White last year coming off the bench. Who gives a shit if he comes off the bench? Let him destroy second units, and if he's closing games out towards the end of the season, that's the ultimate goal. Bridge yourself to becoming a starter. That's what I'm saying. So this is a good call, though. I think a lot of Bulls fans feel the same way that Micah does, is they overreacted to the pick at 4, maybe disappointed by all the hype that they thought they were going to get LaMelo or somebody else in the top 3, and then turning around in the next couple of days after doing some research and hearing people talk about him, and actually being cautiously optimistic about Patrick Williams, which is a good thing.
Cautiously optimistic. That's like that is where I am grounded right now as a Bulls fan. It's a yes. new leaf.
Seriously.
Jordan, we have several more voicemails to get to. Before that, though, do you want to tell our listeners about Bilko?
Before we get into some other of these text messages and voicemails, I want to tell you guys about Built Go. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every day. It's 1.5 ounce packages of energy gel. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. You put it in your briefcase, your golf bag, or even in your pocket to get you through the day. It's a 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a Monster energy drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. It comes in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Visit BiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off your next order at BiltGo.com. Let's go. Matt, let's take a text message.
All right. This is what I was kind of talking about and teasing a little bit in the intro as far as some of these younger players getting their max extensions and the rapid offseason we have on our hands here. This one comes to us from the 630. Hey, guys. Haven't had a message or call for a while. I figured after hearing today's episode, I wanted to discuss Lowry's potential new deal. Davis Bertans just netted a 5-year, $80 million deal. Jordan, we kind of touched on that briefly in one of our previous episodes. Lowry is licking his chops after that deal. Bertans didn't average anywhere near the stats Lowry did. Will we have to pay $100 million for Lowry at this rate? This is with the notion we expect him to improve over last year's numbers. Something to definitely keep in mind. Jordan, I want to get your thoughts on this and where you think the Bulls and Lowry stand with their contract situation. I don't think either of us are expecting that extension to happen this offseason, and it'll probably, if he's still here a year from now, happen next offseason. But to that point about using Bertans as a, you know, a comparison jumping off point, want to quickly correct our texter here who said Bertans didn't average anywhere near the stats Lowry did. Now, this is just the 2019-20 season, and we know Lowry had a down year and certainly regressed. But would you care to venture a guess as to who's who when I read you these stats? And by the way, there, you know, no need to do per 36 because these players averaged within half a minute. 29.3 minutes per game, 29.8 minutes per game. Okay, so in 29.3 minutes per game, 15.4 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, 1.7 assists, 0.7 steals, 0.6 blocks, 1.1 turnover, shooting 43.4% from the field and 42.4% from behind the three-point arc. Oh, and by the way, 85% from the free throw line. Player averaging 29.8 minutes per game in the 19-20 season, 14.7 points, 6.3 rebounds, 1.5 assists, 0.8 steals, 0.5 blocks, 1.6 turnovers, shooting 42.5% from the field and 34.4 from behind the three-point arc, 82.4 at the free throw line. One of those players is Lowry Markkanen, and one of them is Davis Bertans.
I know Bertans had an insane year last year, so I'm going to say he's number one. There's no way Lowry shot 40% from three, and I don't have his stats pulled up, but there's no way he shot 40% from three last year.
He did not. Basically, their stats are the same across the board in 2019-20, with Bertans averaging slightly more points per game, 15.4 to 14.7, and 42.4 behind the three-point line compared to just 34.4 for Lowry. So other than Lowry having a couple more rebounds per game, Bertans outscored him and had 8 percentage points better behind the three-point arc. Other than that, their stats are the exact same across the board.
Yeah, him getting 4 years in, or 5 years, $80 million. That, Joe Harris, Bogdan Bogdanovic, and Danilo Gallinari, all I think makes sense in terms of where you're looking at Lauri Markkanen's money going next year. Man, after I saw Bertans sign that deal, I texted Rick Camp immediately, and I go, Lowry's got to be laughing all the way to the bank right now. If he even has a average season next year, average and just can stay healthy and on the floor, he's easily getting 4 for $80. Easily. That's where I see Lowry sitting. And if he has a really good season next year, I could see that number skyrocketing to 4 for $90. but he's going to be in this conversation with those four guys that I had just mentioned, somewhere between the 65 to 85 million dollars, which puts him at an annual average of about 15 to 20 million a year. Is Lauri Markkanen worth that? Is he worth 15 to 20 million dollars a year, Matt, or do you do the thing that you did with Zach LaVine and just say, hey, go test the free agent market, and if a team signs you and offers you a big contract, we'll match?
Yeah, that's obviously a dangerous way to go about it, but it certainly worked out in the Bulls' favor with Zach LaVine, because I think most everybody would agree right now that Zach LaVine is well outperforming and outproducing his contract when it comes to his annual salary. No question about it. And the Bulls, I think, made the right call in matching that offer sheet that he signed with Sacramento. Lowry's is like such a toss-up to me right now. Like, it's a fascinating subject, and you know that I am one of those people who is refusing to give up on Lowry, and can't wait to see him under Billy Donovan and his coaching staff with some more development people propping him up and trying to help him, you know, expand his game. And it's one of those things where if Lowry has this great breakout year in this upcoming season ahead of us, and thus the Bulls feel good about giving him a 4 or 5 year extension in the realm of $15 to $20 million a year, I'll be happy with that. You know, I don't think it will be something as jarring as like Jimmy when he got that, you know, 4-year $40 million offer and then turned it down and bet on himself and basically doubled the contract signing, you know, a year later. And then we got that great soundbite from Gar that was like, well, I think we all won in this scenario. I want that to be the case. I want Lowry to be fixed. I want Lowry to have a breakout fourth year, which is, you know, a year delayed from the average breakout third year. And if it ends up being something where you're paying him a 5-year $80 million that Bertans just got, I'm fine with that. It might be more than that, and Lowry and his, you know, representatives might be asking for more than that. Then you're getting close to just how much do you think he's worth? Like, because 5 years $80 million and 5 years $100 million are different. 5 years $80 million and 4 years $80 million are obviously different. So like, there's a interesting line to skate right there, and it's all going to depend upon what Lowry does in the especially first half of this upcoming season, because if things aren't going well and AK and his guys start to make some decisions about who fits and who doesn't, who stays and who goes, then maybe you're talking about seeing what you can get for Lowry on the trade market before the deadline.
Yeah, and that's why we were having conversations even about Carter, too. We were saying, like, Carter gives you an extra year to evaluate without having to make a decision long-term on him. And the one thing you really want to avoid is becoming the Kings. And the Kings spending all of this money and retaining their young guys, and then all of a sudden, you quickly look around that team and go, what the hell do we have here? Like, we have a bunch of young guys, but it's not getting us anywhere, and we quickly just spent all of our money. So that's what the Bulls want to avoid. And whether it's making tough decisions on Lowry or Wendell Carter Jr. going into the future, or even Zach LaVine for that, Matt, making hard decisions on those guys is going to be something that's going to be critical for this front office in the first couple of years. And I'm very interested to see if this is, for the most part, for a lot of these guys, a one-year tryout in front of AK and Billy Donovan if they fit in their system going forward. So, again, back to Markkanen, I am pretty confident in saying that I think next summer when we're having these same conversations or throughout the year, I think we're looking at close to 4 for $80 million for Markkanen. And I don't know how Bulls fans feel about that, whether it's not trade him, see what you got in Carter, and see if you can upgrade by using Lowry as a trade bait. There's probably going to be conversations that we have with people for the next several months about talking about that, but I think that's where you're pretty much at. If you look at all of the stretch fours that just signed a big money, Jeremy Grant was another one we didn't talk about, Matt. He got $20 million annually, so you can thank the Pistons for driving up the price on stretch fours.
Although I did think that was interesting because I heard somewhere that basically the Nuggets offered him a nearly identical deal to stay in Denver to the 3-year $60 million. So I don't know, you know, why you would abandon a team that, you know, got that close to the finals, made it to the conference finals, to go to Detroit where like there is no plan whatsoever and it's Detroit. I don't know. So that's an interesting one to me. But, you know, as far as Lowry, man, obviously paying 4 years $80 million for the player we saw this season and paying 4 years $80 million for the player we saw his second season are two very different things. And that's why I'm hopeful that he can turn this around. Jordan, more mailbag on deck, but first wanted to remind our listeners that if you can't get enough NBA content, in addition to listening to our show, you should also check out the Locked On NBA podcast that also does daily episodes just like we do. On Tuesdays, their regular Locked On NBA scheduling, East meets West in Locked On NBA Tuesdays. Wes Goldberg, the Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News and host of Locked On Warriors, and David Ramil, host of Locked On Heat, tackle the biggest NBA stories of the day coast to coast. Subscribe to that Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get your podcasts. If you're getting your Bulls fix from us but want more NBA talk, more of a bigger NBA scope during this crazy frenzied offseason, check out that Locked On NBA podcast. All right, Jordan, you want to go back to our voicemails? You want to take another text message?
Yeah, let's go to our voicemails. This one's from the 815.
All righty.
Yo, guys. This is Jim from Bolingbrook calling in just after the fourth selection in the draft. I see a lot of the reaction by most fans is them freaking out, having PTSD once more. I just wanted to say I think this is a fantastic pick. I like this kid. I can't wait to see him play next to Wendell. I'm glad they didn't trade him. And imagine that defense. Those two playing together. So I think everybody just needs to take a chill pill, calm down, collectively exhale. I mean, we had AK come in, boom, bing, bang, boom, fired Gar, stuffed John Paxson in a closet and neutered him. And, I mean, now they bring in Billy Donovan. They work in mysterious ways. Everybody just needs to settle the fuck down. Everything's going to be fine. Great pick.
It's a good, I think that's short and sweet, Matt, and to the point, again, I say this after being somebody in 2020 that has doubted AK and Mark Eversley not once, but twice, with not firing Gar right away and not getting rid of Jim Boylan right away and not deciding on a head coach. That, to me, I'm done. I promise you I'm done doing that, freaking out and not putting my trust in them until they make a move that I really don't like. Again, maybe they see something in Patrick Williams that all of us at the naked eye didn't see, and they know a lot more. They've scouted these guys a lot more than we have and seen them play. So even if he's not the flashy name, which I think that's the majority of the gripe, is that he's just not the flashy name or somebody people have been talking about for months. But again, I'm with you. Like, they've done everything we've asked them and more just this year, this new front office. So maybe we have a little bit of patience and give them a little bit of leeway to take a guy and develop and put our trust in those guys.
Yeah, and I don't really have anything to add on that. I think, you have heard me agree pretty much on what Jim said. So let me just say, shout out, because that's like one of my favorite voicemails we've ever gotten. There are so many gems in there. He had the, neutering John Paxson joke. He got a bing, bang, boom in there, which I loved. And then he ended it all by just telling Bulls fans to calm the fuck down. That was an awesome, awesome voicemail. Way to go, Jim.
I've never done that,
I've never done that. I've never bing, bong, boomed guys.
I got 15 guys to develop.
All right, let's go to one more voicemail, Matt, and then maybe take a text message and we'll get out of here. There'll be a mailbag part two as we try to feed through all of these voicemails and text messages. Again, you can hit us up at 331-979-1369. This one comes from the 773.
Hey, what's up, Matt? What's up, Jordan? This is Derek from the South Side, Real DNA on Twitter. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I'm a fan of you guys and definitely one of my favorite podcasts to listen to, so keep up the good work. First and foremost, I wanted to agree with Jordan that I did want to trade up for Ball, but I am actually very happy with the pick of Pat since he stayed at 4. Got a very versatile, smart, and highly athletic 4 with potential. I also would have been happy with Hayes, and I'm just glad that we didn't get Denny because of his ceiling and fit. First and foremost, I want to make a comparison for Pat Williams that I've really been seeing a lot of, but I want to do this instead of focusing on his floor and his ceiling per se. What I kind of see with him is a 6'8" type Marcus Smart with potentially a higher peak because of his raw athleticism prowess. Marcus Smart, if you remember, was a guy that had an NBA level body coming straight out of the, NCAA, and he was great defensively, but had some offensive limitations. We've seen him now especially with Boston be one of their most versatile players and also even a knockdown shooter on offense. I can see a potential with Pat being like that, except in the front court, where he can already kind of guard 2 through 5, possibly even 1 through 4. And then as he works out the kinks of the offensive game, be a guy like Smart that when he's out there, he's legitimately affecting you on both ends of the court, possibly even higher because of his athletic ability. So just wanted to throw that comparison out there. I haven't really seen a lot of her Kawhi, but I don't think that quite makes the most sense. So wanted to get your opinion on it. Thanks again for the call.
Thanks for the call. I think that just... I see his Marcus Smart comparison. Don't think just point guard and size. Think about mindset, the way that he plays, too. I think he's kind of similar to Patrick Williams. Obviously, Kawhi would be the ultimate ceiling, and I am very hesitant to even put those two guys in the same sentence right now. Like, I just think that's right. Unfair expectations for him.
There are just, like, little glimpses when you watch his tape. And, like, you saw some of it in that, you know, pickup game video of his that went viral a couple of days ago. But... His mid-range game and his ability to put the ball on the floor a little bit, it has shadows of Kawhi to me. And then also the other big reason that he gets Kawhi comps is hand size. Dude's got gigantic hands.
Pat's going to come in there, though, I think, in this rookie year and shake some things up, though. Like, I watched a lot of his college games, and his college games, man, he was stepping up and wanting to take the point guard one-on-one on defense right at the half-court line. Like, things like that... Although in a lot of situations he was getting burned by, but like having the confidence to want to step up and defend that guy one-on-one, I think that confidence and that drive and that fire is something that the Bulls actually have been lacking for a long time. I've said it to you. I said this offseason, the Bulls need a bully on this team, whether it be a guy that just comes in there and bangs bodies for 20 minutes a night. Like, the Bulls have been so soft in that way. Like, even since Bobby left, like, a lot of people picked on Bobby, but Bobby was the guy out there that was irritating people night after night, and nights that it was working and Bobby was going off on offense, it was fun to watch and it was pissing everybody off. That's a guy that the Bulls have missed, though. Look at every team that's trying to compete for a championship. They have at least one of those guys on that team. I'm not saying Patrick Williams is going to be that guy necessarily, but if you can have two or three guys that just piss you off consistently on the defensive end, it's a good thing. So I think his commitment to trying to get better, always giving 110% effort, always moving when he doesn't have the ball in his hands, too. Little things like that, to me, scream, hey, it's going to bring the best out of his other teammates on the floor, too. So I'm a huge fan of this pick. I'm still very hesitant to say that he can guard the ones. He's, like I said, he can guard in college, and he's tried. But in a lot of those games, he's getting burned past pretty easy by quick guards. So it's just going to be something he's going to have to develop. But I'm very excited for his pick.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Derek's comp about Smart is valid, especially when you think about the way that Smart had has become a legitimate threat behind the three-point line as he has, you know, worked through his NBA career. Really not much of an offensive threat when he came into the league, and we're talking about how we certainly expect to see Pat Will's emphasis and impact on the defensive end right out of the gate as a very young rookie, and hoping to see those elements of his offensive game really blossom. You know, in that way, plus just like the size and strength of Marcus Smart, I think, you know, that's certainly a fair comp. When you talk about some of the other comps that are thrown out, you know, the whether it be Millsap or Jeremy Grant over in Denver and players of that ilk who just have the size and the strength right away in the NBA and then round out their offensive game while being very versatile two-way players. I think that's exactly what Pat Will projects to be. And I think Bulls fans will just need to be a little bit patient to see the fruits of his work on the offensive end come around. Because, you know, I don't know. I, you know, we could be surprised, but I would be surprised to see Pat Will, you know, jacking up double-digit shots every night this upcoming season. What about you?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're going to try to find spots where he can have success in finding him in mismatches, because I think a lot of teams are going to underestimate his ability to handle the ball. Like, he's got really great ball handling skills, and think back to his days when he was a point guard in high school before he had his 8-inch growth spurt that turned him from a point guard to basically a 3 or a 4. So I think people are going to underrate his ball handling skills, and I think he can take advantage of people early. And another thing too, Matt, is if he's allowed on the floor with two or three guys that can shoot the three at a pretty decent clip, I think you're going to find a lot of situations where Patrick Williams is in the corners and wide open. And that's another place to capitalize on too, is like continue to improve and increase his confidence at the three-point line and finding those spots open. I think he's going to have a lot of chances to find easy buckets, and teams are going to have to pay more attention to him as the season progresses. Maybe I'm being a little too optimistic on his game right now, but I'm with you. I think maybe we see 5-6 shots a game from Pat Will, but I don't think it's going to be anything extreme or insane in the first year.
Yeah, I'm, you know, again, cautiously optimistic. And what we saw in that Pat Will open gym, I mean, again, it's just pickup. It's 5-on-5. But I think the foundational pieces, the building blocks are there for him to turn into a very scary offensive weapon, as well as a great defensive, versatile piece for AK to build with. All right, Jordan, let's get back to that text line once more before we get out of here. And this one's interesting because I'm going to throw a pairing here of texts at you from two different people. So the 708 says, the Pistons trade Derrick Rose to the Bulls for Satoransky in a 2022 second round pick. Awesome story for new management to allow us to look even better to outside players. We get that leadership and scoring off the bench, get rid of Tomas' contract, and the perfect bridge starter until Killian Hayes is ready in Detroit. The Pistons are also stockpiling picks, any picks that they can. So couple that text with another one that I got right here about Sato, from the 808, who says, hey guys, I might be the only voice out there, but I still believe that Satoransky is better than what he showed us last year, and in my opinion, should still be the starting point guard for the Bulls. We all agree that everyone on this team was negatively impacted by Boylan's coaching, but this reason is missing when it comes to criticism about Sato. There should also be a set expectation that Sato needs to meet. Before the start of the last season, the expectation for Sato was to be an additional ball handler in a multi-ball handler system, but not be ball dominant. He was supposed to make the additional pass, make shots when called upon. I think he did that last year. So this year, in a team where three out of your five projected starters are ball dominant players, what is the reasonable expectation for Sato? Hope to hear from your response. So thank you to those two texters that have some Satoransky talk, which we don't really do much of here on Lockdown Bulls recently, Jordan.
It's kind of disappointing, his season last year, but I said it yesterday that I think that he's in for a bounce back year. Like exactly what our texters have been saying, is that nobody played well in Jim Boylan's system outside of guys like Shaq Harrison. And good for him. It's going to get him paid.
He's a baller.
He's a baller. He balls. But I think there's a bounce back year coming for Satoransky, and maybe it's more the idea that he's going to allow Billy Donovan is going to allow him to maybe run the offense a little bit more, put guys like Zach LaVine and Kobe White in positions to shoot, actually let him do the things that he's good at, and that's playmaking, finding guys open and running the offense. That to me screams a bounce back year from Satoransky, but he's got to be better from the three. I mean, he shot 32% from three point after coming off a season in Washington where he shot damn near 40% from three. So that's got to be better, definitely. But I would say they need to bring in another guard to put some pressure on Satoransky too, in terms of, hey, dude, if you're not going to step up and make this work, we're either going to deal you or we're going to find somebody else who could do it better than you can. Because again, the Bulls paid him a decent amount of money and signed and trade for him a year ago. So there's still some expectation that Satoransky needs to make an impact on this team if he's not going to get dealt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you there. I thought it was interesting on today's episode of the Bulls Talk podcast, Casey Johnson was, you know, speculating that he thinks the Bulls are going to give Kobe a shot to win this starting point guard job in training camp. And we've heard from Kobe himself saying, I want to earn this starting point guard spot. And, you know, we've also heard that the new front office views Kobe as more of a two and an off guard than a primary ball handling guard. So that's why I think a lot of us were expecting them to take a point guard in this draft. And like, yeah, okay, they stashed Dotson, the Kansas guy, on a two-way contract. So they did technically address it. And Temple is a guy who, like, has, you know, in very limited spots been a ball handler in his long NBA career. but not address it as aggressively as some of us might thought with LaMelo or Hayes or Haliburton or whatever. So when it comes to Sato, I think he's more likely to stick around than Thad Young just because of this ridiculous logjam in the Bulls front court and wanting to get Pat Will as many minutes as possible to jumpstart his development. And Thad is a quality, well-respected veteran piece that can give some solid, front court minutes to a playoff-bound team. Sato, I think, could still very well fit in and actually be a much more productive player than what we saw last season in the right system under Billy Donovan. So, if the Bulls decide to move him because they can find a better piece or set themselves up better for the future, I'm okay with it. But I also would not be against seeing what Sato can do in some Billy Donovan small ball lineups, playing with Kobe, playing with Zach LaVine, and seeing what the three of them could do together. And as you said, obviously he's got to get that 3-point percentage up. But to round out this convo, we can't ignore the texter that started all of this, which was proposing a trade with Detroit, sending Sato over there to bring Derrick Rose home. What do you think about that?
See, I thought that was more realistic when the Bulls had the fourth pick and Detroit had seven. Like, making those flip-flops made some sense, but I get people want Rose back here, and I even thought it wouldn't have been a bad idea to bring him off the bench and have him being your bench scoring guard, but to me, you need guys that are going to play make, and Derrick needs the ball in his hands, and he's more of a score-first guard than he is a playmaking, hey, I'm going to set my teammates up for success type of guard. And that's not a knock on Derrick either, anybody me saying that, but that just doesn't fit the formula that the Bulls are going for right now. And I'll be honest with you, Matt, if Derrick comes out and has a good season this year or an average season, I think the Pistons probably can get a first-round pick for him. I think they can get a future first-round pick for him or something that's in the back end of the 20s. If that secures a playoff team, adds another guard, veteran guard that's looking for a championship, I think there's a real possibility Derrick could be traded for a first-round pick, and I just don't think the Bulls are enticing to do that. The interesting thing that you said, though, about Kobe real fast is that he is going to compete for the point guard position. That makes me curious even more so on Zach LaVine's time here with the Bulls. If that's the case, and maybe they just play their five best guys and want to see those guys play for the first 20, 25 games together, what does that mean for Zach ultimately if Kobe then shifts to the two? Say they do move Zach LaVine. That all is just circling back to me that they're actively looking for a deal for LaVine. And I don't know anything personally. That's the way that my brain is working right now is if they let him win that starting point guard position, I don't think it's for long. I think ultimately they want him to move to the two, which means Zach LaVine is out. So we can keep our eyes on that. I don't know about you.
I think the front office will keep those options open and let Donovan explore a lot of different looks. And I would expect to see Kobe and Zach sharing the floor a lot together this year. A lot more than we saw last year when Boylan was begrudgingly bringing Kobe along. And we all know the defensive problems that a starting backcourt of Kobe and Zach LaVine represents, right? Like, anyone who watches any basketball knows that that is an issue and would be an issue. There is still just the realization that good NBA basketball usually involves outscoring your opponents on a nightly basis. Good offense trumps good defense every time. 9,999 times out of 10,000. Good offense beats good defense. So, could the Bulls new front office envision a Kobe Zach backcourt being sort of like the, Dame and McCollum backcourt of the East? In a way that, you're giving up certain things defensively, but your backcourt's easily going to be able to give you somewhere between 40 and 50 points a night. On some nights, 60 points a night. And then address the other, issues on the defensive end around those. Maybe, a healthy and competent OPJ can actually contribute this season. Obviously, you just addressed defense with the selection of Patrick Williams. You still have Wendell Carter Jr. anchoring your defense at the center position. Maybe that's what they're envisioning right now.
It's going to be interesting to see what Donovan does with the collective group of players he has. And I think we're going to get more answers even in the first 10 or 15 games that this Bulls team plays, we'll be able to clearly more understand what maybe their future is going to look like, as opposed to trying to playing this guessing game is difficult, but it does create fun conversation because there's so many different ways that this Bulls team can go, not only from the mindset of Mark Eversley and AK, but from Billy Donovan himself and his entire new coaching staff. So I'm very excited, and I think there's a lot to be optimistic about going into training camp just a week from today. Continue to hit us up with your questions, your voicemails, 331-979-1369. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com